We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Talking Halos. I'm your host today, Jared Timms, and I'm joined alongside my co-host, my partner in crime, Nate Green. Nate, it's been a minute since we've had a little bit of an interview here. Yes. Joined by, of course, Taylor, you know you're getting it here, the world famous Taylor Blake Ward. How you doing, man?
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Intergalactic superstar. What's up, guys?
Hey, well, I appreciate you jumping on and talking with us. It's been a hot second. So thanks for talking with us. It's been crazy, I guess, past week and a half, actually probably like 3 weeks for you with Baseball America coming out and all that fun stuff. Talk to us about that. What was that experience like?
It was fun. You know, Baseball America reached out, asked me to do their top 30 prospects for the handbook, do their Angels chapter. You know, there's a lot that goes into it, talking to a lot of people in the organization, a lot of people outside of the organization, and collecting a list and then writing it all together. That was the hard part. So, no, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun and very happy with the product that's going to be coming out with the handbook. I think they're pre-order right now, so go ahead and pre-order the Baseball America Prospect Handbook. And, yeah, I mean, just – busy stuff, you know. Weather sucks. Weather sucks out here, and dealing with it.
You're telling me I had to plow snow today. By the way,
wow.
One of the first times for me.
Oh goodness!
Second time, I enjoyed.
And you survived.
I did. We had like 4 inches, and I had to go plow. I had to go push it out of the driveway. So
I had to shovel yesterday. So enjoy yourself.
Nah, it's not bad. Nate, I didn't forget about you. How you doing? You excited to talk to you?
Of course, the world famous Taylor Blake Ward. We have to get him hyped up on here because nobody else will. So that's our job to hype him up, right?
My man.
Taylor, tell everybody before we get going where they can follow you, where they can find your work. You have a book also that's still out there. Tell us everything, you know, where they can purchase that book too.
On Twitter at Taylor Blake Ward. You can find some of my work, Baseball America, Angels Win, working with the Sporting Tribune right now with Arash Marchese and good stuff. And if you're interested in the book, it's the life of Bob Fontaine Jr. He signed Tony Gwynn, Ozzie Smith, basically the whole 02 Angels team. My man, all right.
Got it right here.
And you can find that available on Amazon or other joints.
Plus it's signed. Plus it's
no
signed
kidding.
By I can't read it. It looks like Taylor Ward. Taylor Blake Ward.
It's probably my assumption.
Go get the book. Go get the book. Gotta have some fun with you there. So you mentioned it. You listen and sometimes watch this podcast, which is pretty cool. I enjoy when I get some feedback from you on this stuff. You like the rapid fire, so I'm gonna hit you with some rapid fire here, man.
Okay. Let's do it.
Do a best baseball movie.
League of Their Own.
Ooh, that's a good one. I like that. Oh, you were a catcher. What was your pop time?
Weak.
That's bad. That's so unfair.
Let's see. No, probably peak, probably like a 2-1, 2-2.
It's not too bad. That's not too bad. I mean, not Logan O'Hoppy 1-7 that's out there, but twos is good.
Twos probably
is good.
Twos. Yeah. That's good. Not fast enough.
You've done a lot of reporting in your time. What's your favorite interview you've ever done?
Eric Ibar. Doesn't speak a ton of English. Not totally open to interviews in English. But we got chatting about some things in Spanish and English, and he was accommodating, so that was really cool. Just talking to the kids. I like talking to the kids a lot, the prospects, the high schoolers. But yeah, I think just self pride. Eric Ibar, getting him into a deep discussion.
Yeah, I can imagine. This seems like a fun one for sure. Favorite flavor seeds?
I'm not a seed guy.
Ooh,
not a right. Seed guy.
All right. What about Gatorade? Are you a Gatorade guy? Because that was another one of my questions. Favorite flavor Gatorade?
So when people ask what flavor or color, I just say whatever you grab. Gatorade, I'm a zero sugar Gatorade guy.
That's fine. I like zero sugar. It's not too bad.
I'll go zero sugar, and because if you can't tell, I'm getting a little excess. And yeah, I would go with that.
You're just shoveling snow. You're fine.
Snowplow just drove by, literally. If you saw me wave, that was a snowplow.
That's great. That's great. What kind of glove do you use?
I have mixed around. I was a Wilson guy because that was our family name was Wilson, or my mom's maiden name was Wilson. And then I moved to Rawlings. And right now I am a 44 Pro guy. I got my third glove coming in, hopefully, in less than a week.
That's sweet. Love 44. Not a sponsor ever, will probably ever be, but I love 44. Yeah. What about bat? What kind of bat did you use?
Louisville. Always Louisville. Strictly.
And you were Beezer bats too when you played, so you probably were crushed.
So those were unfair.
Yeah, the unfair bats. So
always.
All right. Well, that's fantastic to hear. I'm glad we were able to throw off a little rapid fire there for you. I know. But always fun for everybody. So I got a question of the day before we get into some international signings, which I know you and I both we're very, very much so in on and like we have our own opinions. We haven't actually, me and Nate haven't really given our opinions on it. So I'm excited to give our opinions here too. But question of the day, more so for Taylor here, what do you value more? An offensive, a hitting prospect, a position player prospect, or a pitching prospect? Especially looking at what the Angels have done lately with the development of pitching compared to their development of hitting.
Hitters, just everyday players. Pitchers break. Pitchers are volatile. And that's, you know, that goes for everyone. You know, Jacob DeGrom, best pitcher in the game right now, has been battling injuries for a while now. It's always going to be a hitter for me, especially a premier position hitter, whether it be a shortstop or a catcher or a center fielder. But if you can hit, you're going to be in the majors. And that's the way I'm going to look at it. The hit tool is always going to be number one for me.
Absolutely. I agree, though, with what the Angels are doing recently, and Nate has talked about this many of times. I always wanted the Angels to take the Cubs route and just go draft as much hitting as humanly possible. They've kind of switched that up, gone on the pitching side of stuff. And we've seen them actually make some trades with pitching a lot lately to get offensive pieces, you know, the Renfro trade this offseason, the Gio Urshela trade. You know, we saw Hidalgo go where they're talking about Gary Sanchez. I don't know how true that is, but you'd have to assume some pitching is probably going to be included in something like that as well.
Free agent.
Was he a free agent? Oh, I
Yes.
thought he was. Wow, I'm with it then. That's on me.
I had to help you real quick
Yeah, no,
before you started going
you
down
guys
that
probably
rabbit
looked at each
trail.
other like, what is this guy talking about? Yeah,
We
no, he's a free
were.
agent. That makes more sense then. I was thinking he still had a year with the Twins, so that changes my opinion on a lot of things there. And I, my bad guys. Look, now it doesn't even look like I know what I'm talking about. I swear I do.
Right, man.
But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing to talk about. I don't disagree with you though, Taylor. I think that it's always going to be offensive guys. Those guys can play 162 games compared to a pitcher who you're getting 30 starts out of. So Nate, I don't know if you have a different opinion
I
there.
was just going to say you don't have any position players playing 162 games. I still like drafting pitching. I think that the longer you wait on pitching, if you go and get pitching in free agency, like those are the guys that are more likely to break because the teams have used and abused them for 6, 7 years and just kind of thrown hundreds and hundreds of innings under their belt. And you can kind of go get hitting anywhere. And I think every team is always in desperate need of pitching. So I would rather get pitching and use the pitching to go get hitting if I need to. But that's just me.
Yeah, I'm gonna just for my own sake, this is my opinion. I actually like getting free agent pitching. The guys might not have the 100 miles per hour that they didn't when they were 20 or whatever it is, but I feel like pitching is so mental and such a body mentality. You have control of your body more as you get older. You're stronger. You have a concept of how to get guys out because you've been doing it for years. So actually, I think pitchers blossom when they're about 27, 28. And I really think that pitching when you're older, it doesn't have to be a 35-year-old, but the guys that are 27 to 33, those are the guys that I actually really think are the ones that are valuable. I think the free agent market is really the way to go to when it comes to pitching. I know they say, buy hitters, build pitchers, but I'm a little backwards on that.
I mean, it's a topic of discussion. Why I brought it up with, like, not to gloat or anything, with such great minds on this podcast right now. Taylor, you're freaking really smart. Nate, you're smart. Myself, smart as well. So I thought it was kind of an interesting question, and I'm sure we could discuss this all day, but I do want to get into international prospects because that was a big deal over the past weekend. Angels signed, I believe, 18 prospects, a lot of 16, 17-year-olds. Taylor, I'm gonna actually kind of let you, in a sense, take this away. I will, like, name off the names here, and we can kind of go over a little scouting report on each, maybe what you saw, and if you have a figure for them or anything like that. And if you don't have a report on them, which I know we don't have a report on quite a few guys, it is what it is, because that's 16, 17-year-olds. We don't hear a whole lot about some of these guys. So, off the bat, give us a couple, not like legal rules, but rules that you kind of live by when it comes to the international signing period. And by that, I mean, like, remember, these guys are 16, 17-year-olds. They may never make it out of, the islands. They may never come stateside, that type of thing, Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, you have a bonus pool and you can't go over your bonus pool, and it's allotted by baseball. Major League Baseball is dictated by that, and it's based on your market and how you do things. There are penalties for signing certain free agents. The Angels did lose $500,000 in their market this year because of the Noah Syndergaard signing. So you date back. Next year they'll lose it for the Tyler Anderson signing. These guys are age 16 and above on the international scale. It gets a little tricky when you get into Asia and Japan and Korea a little bit on age differences, but for the most part, you can sign them for any dollar within your pool. If you decide you only want one player and you sign them for your whole bonus pool, that's on you. I believe you can get guys for 10,000 or under and it doesn't go to your pool, and I may be mistaken on that, but I believe that's what it is. But yeah, you're moving your funds around trying to capitalize on the international market because it is an open market similar to free agency. It's an amateur free agency essentially. And a lot of guys make decisions and agree to verbal contracts when they're about 13, 14 years old. I would say 15, but usually they're verbally committed to that point. Those verbal commitments can change all the way up to signing that piece of paper and that contract. But for the most part, most of these guys had agreements when they were 13, 14 years old, and there's a lot of discrepancy about that. A lot of people will argue a lot of things that are morally okay with that or immorally okay with that, but that's just the way that the business is. A lot of people want to go to a draft, which is fine, but at the same time, it is what it is for now. And until we get to that international draft, which it seems like the owners really wanting to push on that envelope. But until we get to that, this is where we're at. It is you use your bonus pool and you have agreements in place, and those contracts have been agreed upon years in advance. So the guy that may have been the best prospect when he was 14 years old may not be that same guy when he's 16. And that $30,000 kid that you agreed to when he was 14, 15 years old, now he's 17. He's grown and he's a different player than he is. And that's where we see a lot of the differences between the top of the prospect rankings to the bottom.
Yeah, absolutely. And to get into the Angels a little bit more this year, didn't sign anybody over $1 million, which is, I feel like, a little bit uncommon for a lot of teams. You see at least maybe one or two guys get that $1 million mark. The Angels didn't do that this year. What was your thought on that and just the Angels itself this international signing period? That's going to continue to go on, by the way, for those listening. It goes on until next December, so it can continue to roll out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a new scouting department down there as of last year. So a lot of these agreements were changed. You even talk about when Perry Minassian first came in before Brian Parker joined the organization in 2020 for the 22 market, not for this 23 market, but for the 22 market. So a lot of things change. A lot of the top guys are agreed somewhere else. We've talked about it before. I even think on this podcast, you know, with it being an open market, you go to Europe, you're going to see Yankees hats. You go to Cuba, you're going to see Marlins hats. You go anywhere west, you're going to see Dodgers hats. So there is an unfair advantage to being a really popular team universally, worldwide, to having a little bit of an advantage in this market. San Diego, one of those right now, too. So it does kind of come along with that. Something the Angels did this year that they haven't done in the past was spread their funds pretty heavily. You know, you talk about the top of the market, and we saw it a few years ago, Trent DeVoe, Alexander Ramirez, Adrian Plasencia, Deshaun Knowles, you know, the list goes on. Didn't spread their funds as much. Even last year, you look at Nelson Rada and Randy DeJesus, right? Those guys signed for a combined $2 or $3 million, right? And let's, I don't remember what the pool is, but if you say it's $5 million, that gives you $2 million to work with after that. And I know the $200,000 of it was saved and eventually went to Edgar Carroll. And obviously Edgar Carroll, one of the top prospects in the organization at the moment. So yeah, the way that the Angels kind of moved their funds around this year was more the interesting item, and being able to get 10 to 12 six-figure guys above $100,000, was really impressive. Even if you don't have that $1 million guy, that seven-figure guy, you have a lot of a quantity of projects. And essentially all these guys are projects. I wouldn't necessarily call them prospects. Some of it maybe at the top of the market, some of them are, but a lot of projects. So you built a little bit more depth. Something the Angels, that's a big word for the offseason, is depth. I think that's more what the Angels did with this market, is they didn't go for the superstar. They went to build the depth of the minors. And that's what a lot of these six-figure guys are going to be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I liked it, Nate. I know, do you want to give your thought on this? I know we kind of did.
I was just going to say, Taylor, we talked about this the last podcast. Kind of, what is your thought on this? Would you rather be that team that says, "Hey, we're going to go spend, you know, $5 million on our two guys," or would you rather go and get 15 guys and hope one or two of those guys hit? Because we talked about it too, like, we actually looked at all the top international free agents over the last, I don't know, 10 years or whatever it was. And most of those guys, the guys that are the elite players, the all-star levels, they were not at the top of those lists. They were, some of them weren't even on these lists. So what do you think?
It depends on the guy. I mean, there are guys you're confident in, right? Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Of course.
Outlier, right? I mean, yes, he is the outlier. He is, but you knew from a young age what his talent level was and what he could become. So it's really an outlier. If you have an opportunity at what you believe is going to be a superstar, you really truly believe this is going to blossom into a superstar, absolutely, I'm spending that money, I'm taking that chance. But if I don't have that confidence and that belief, that firm belief, snowplow, if I don't have that firm belief in that, I think what the Angels did was smart. And like you said, a lot of these guys, when they're 14, they're different from when they're 16. So they're different when they're 18, different when they're 20, every, you know, 2-3 year gaps, they're going to change. And some, like, I'll use Trent DeVoe as an outlier, right? Supreme athlete, outrageously gifted athlete. You knew that he was going to be fast. You knew that he was capable of defending well, I have to have confidence in major league tools. And speed is a tool. Speed is absolutely a tool. Defense is a tool. But I would much rather spend money on a hit tool or control, ability to throw strikes, or a supreme fastball that I have confidence is going to be a reliever. So I would spend my money on huge major league tools. But if that's something I don't have confidence in, I'm going to spread my funds the way the Angels did.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is something also that I brought up last podcast, that the Angels went out and got like one good thing at like every spot. Like Denzer Guzman was the best pure hitter in the class last year. Nelson Rada was the best athlete. You would have to argue one of the best hitters and pure hitters in the class. I mean, like Nixon Encarnacion coming out of the DR was one of the best pitchers coming out of the DR, had one of the best fastballs. So they went out and they like pinpointed one of the best things, you know, they've done that well. So let's get on to, you know, the 2023 class. I'll kind of go down it if you can, you know, just give a little insight on each player on what you might know and such like that. So Brian Martinez, infielder out of the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, and all these things are I'm not in the Dominican. I haven't seen any of these guys in person, so it's a little trickier. But Brian Martinez, athletic middle infielder, probably too big for shortstop or second base. He's probably going to move over to third base. But he's a left-handed hitter. He's got some power. He's got a good chance to hit. Something the Angels focus on is ability to hit. Brian Parker really establishing that marker of these guys really have to be able to hit and be able to locate. That's a very important thing for him. So Brian Martinez, a guy that's going to hit from the left side, power potential. I don't know what he signed for, but I don't. He was one of their six-figure bonuses, I think lower tier ones.
Baldo Soto.
Second baseman. Another guy, you know, the
pitcher.
Data.
Soto's pitcher, right?
So yes. I'm sorry. Who was I thinking of? Oh, yeah. But yeah, Ubaldo Soto. Interesting guy, upper 80s fastball as a 16-year-old. He's going to pitch this year as a 16-year-old. Good feel for his secondaries, a changeup and a breaking ball. So, you know, you're hoping for physical growth. And at 16 years old, like we said, the guy at 16 is going to be different when he's 18. So you want a little more on the fastball, but ability to locate and a young pitcher. So very exciting. He was their top pitcher this year. I believe he signed for, I want to say around $250,000 roughly. But yeah, very talented, really good athlete as well. Really good athlete on the mound.
Top international prospect Angels got this season, Felix Morbell.
Good chance to play short, stay at short. He's pretty smooth in the infield. Size is kind of more the thing with him. He doesn't have really the ability to turn on the ball. He hits well. He can hit. It's just how much power is really going to come, and is he going to have the ability to impact the ball enough to play at the next level, you know, continue playing at the next level. So physical growth, big thing for him. But, you know, a kid that's shown he can hit, has done so as an amateur, shown the data really suggests it as well. And a guy that could play shortstop for you. And I always believe, you know, playing shortstop, I talked about the hit tool and the fastball and everything from major league tools. Playing shortstop and playing catcher, those are major league tools for me. Huge yeah. Major league tools.
Yep. Yep. Up the middle talents. We've talked about that. We've talked about it. So I'm going to butcher this name. Aniel Marquez.
Marquez. I'm going through my tabs here. Got to find my tabs. My bad.
I'm going off mine, so I'm not.
Yeah, Aniello Marquez, left-handed hitting shortstop, makes a lot of contact, has to get stronger. Good chance of staying up the middle. One of the bigger bonuses this year. Definitely one of the bigger bonuses. More or less, Felix Morbell light, I guess, is the way I would put it. Definitely has to grow a little bit more than Morbell, even to really show the impact ability.
One of my favorite guys in this draft, Victor Rodriguez, or not in the draft, but in the signing period, Victor Rodriguez.
Victor Rodriguez. As I'm going through my notes, my apologies. I'm kind of running through everything. Victor Rodriguez.
Infielder out of the Dominican.
I know. I'm going through my tabs here. I've got my notes listed, and it's not
you're
not
good.
Playing. This is actually the report I got on Victor Rodriguez. Very similar profile to Brian Martinez. Probably outgrows shortstop or the middle of the infield. Really makes hard contact, some power projection. He's basically Brian Martinez from the right side.
It's always good to hear. Oswaldo Patina Jr.
That's the second baseman. That's the guy I was thinking of. Second baseman, small frame middle infielder. Likely play second base. Good contact skills. Simple as that. And I think that's going to be repetitive through this. It's just guys that they have the data from their amateur ranks. But good contact skills. Has to continue growing. Probably not a shortstop.
I reported this guy as an outfielder, but I guess he's a right-handed pitcher. Junior Gonzalez.
Yeah, Junior Gonzalez, converted outfielder. I remember him. Converted outfielder. It's a right-handed pitcher. Throws in the mid-80s right now, but super athlete. Really young and projectable. Tall kid, lean, high-waisted. Flashes a little bit of an off-speed pitch. But, yeah, one of those projects here you'd be really excited about.
Absolutely. Juan Flores, catcher out of Venezuela.
Yeah, there's my guy right there. One of the top, and this was universal across conversations with a lot of organizations, is this is one of the top catchers in Venezuela, might have been the top catcher in Venezuela. Power projection, surefire guy that's going to stick behind the plate, good arm, good skills, good lateral movement. Just depending how he hits, he might be the one outlier of maybe not as good a contact skills as the other guys, but like I said, he's a catcher. He signed for about $300,000. Big fan of Juan Flores.
Absolutely. And I've seen him. I've actually seen some video on him catching. Fantastic behind the dish. Very good receiver, especially for the age. So outfielder out of Dominican Republic, Eduardo Espinal.
Espinal. I know I had a...
We got you on that one. You might not. If you don't, like I said.
Yeah,
I'm not expecting any reports on some of these guys.
I remember Espinal was one of the top signings. He signed for about $250,000 roughly. Toolsy right-handed outfielder. I remember now. He's... just a lot of the tools, present tools, you know, he's fast, he can play defense, he can hit, there might be a little power in there, some upside in the bat. So, interesting guy, one of their top signings is around 250,000.
Cool, and this might right here be the last report that you have. Brian Castillo, an outfielder, I think he was
out. Yeah, he was a big one, he was a big dollar guy. I believe he signed for some pretty big money, around 500,000 actually. Second biggest signing of the class for the Angels. Really good athlete who flashes all five tools, has some power upside in there. So, you know, you don't want to say a five-tool player because he's flashing those tools, but a very exciting guy. Probably one that I might even like above Morabell at this point, but very exciting young man. Great athlete, probably going to be able to play center. And one of the guys I think I'm going to follow pretty heavily here.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen the swing. It's a nice swing for sure as well. So excited to see what he can do. Now, again, I don't expect you to have any reports here below this, but Luis Hernandez, outfielder out of Venezuela. I have a little – he's physical. It's kind of a smaller guy, quick. Nice swing at the plate. Might run into a little bit of power, nothing too crazy. Brian Monte de Oca, I think, right-handed pitcher. You probably don't have anything on him. Big physical kid. Going to be interesting to see what they develop there. And then a couple of names that I think you and I and even Ben and, you know, everybody didn't have. So Samil Dishme, I think is how you say his name.
Dishme.
Rafael Medina, a catcher out of Panama. I like the Panama kids, by the way. Javier Castro, right-handed pitcher. He's a big physical kid as well. And Eduardo Bolivar. Not sure if you have anything on any of those guys, but yeah, I got to ask.
I don't really have a whole lot. I do know that you mentioned two. Brian Monte de Oca, big kid, real physical pitcher, reliever type guy, kind of guy. And one of the catchers, Bolivar, Eduard Bolivar, signed pretty cheap, down, you know, five digits, low five digits. Just interesting, but a catcher, maybe a chance to stay a catcher.
Absolutely. And for those who are listening and watching, if you want, you know, to know more, as we move forward here, two signings are always happening throughout the year. So stay clued in on both Taylor's, Twitter and mine as well, because we both report on these guys. Moving forward though, last question before I let you go, there was supposed to be a big signing that the Angels had this international signing period. Might probably move to the next international signing period. I've been on him for a while. Absolutely love him. Joshua Lugo. What do you got on this kid? I know everybody was kind of asking about him too. So
all the tools and ingredients. He looks like he could hit. He looks like he could hit for power. Shortstop, he has the ability. It's just whether or not he grows out of shortstop, ends up being a third baseman, but really an excited kid. He's going to sign for some big dollars. seven digits and some, multiple seven digits. So, yeah, really exciting kid. And just something for the rest of the year, the Angels do have some funds remaining. So a chance at another six digit kind of player moving forward. No note on how much it actually is, but they do have six digits available. We saw it last year. They got Edgar Carroll, or 2 years ago, Edgar Carroll, very exciting guy. So yeah, there's going to be some movement around, and those are going to be, keep an eye on the guys, especially those that are coming from Cuba. But yeah, Joshua Lugo, very exciting young man. I think he looks, very much like, the Astros first baseman who was a third baseman.
No,
I might've been, can't remember.
It's cousin or brother.
Who's the old, who's he? He's like 38. Who's the guy in the Astros? He's like 30. Yeah. So he kind of reminds me of Gurriel, but maybe, you know, that, now that he's younger, a chance to be a shortstop. So that's the way that I kind of see him. Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. And a relative of former top prospect, DeWall Lugo, for those of you who know that, who that is. So yeah, there is that there. Taylor, I appreciate you jumping on and talking with us, man. I got nothing else for you. I was going to bring up, you know, they might be looking at some guys from a certain other island down there, but you brought it up anyway. So look out for those Cuban guys, because there are going to be quite a few that are going to be signing. Nate, you got anything else for Taylor?
I was just going to say, Taylor, just for fun, first guy that makes it to the U.S. out of this group, guess, just for fun.
Who's the oldest? I've got to look at the – who's the oldest? I'll say I'll go the cheap route. I'll go Morabell. I'll go cheap route. The big dollar guy. Yeah, that's, I don't know. Fine. I mean,
it's really a crapshoot. Like, you literally don't know. Like, even the guys that get 1.5 million, you don't even know if they're ever going to get over here. So I just, you have the reports. Maybe there's one guy that kind of sticks out a little bit more than the others.
Morabell's more advanced. I would just say Morabell, maybe more advanced. But yeah, I'm just taking a guess. Absolutely a guess.
Yeah,
that's all absolutely. It is.
Absolutely. So, Taylor, before we let you go, clue us in on everything where people can find your work, Twitter, the book, of course. I have it here.
Yeah, In Search of Millionaires, Life of a Baseball Gypsy, available on Amazon. I think 20, 30 bucks, something along those lines. life story of Bobby Fontaine Jr., big part of the 02 Angels when it came to signing players at Glaus, Percival, Salmon,
everybody,
et cetera. The only guys I think were Eckstein, and that was about it. Yep. Eckstein, some of the relievers. But yeah, you know, book's great. You can follow me on Twitter at Taylor Blake Ward. Going to have a lot of content. I'm going to start a trend right now. We're going to call Denzer Guzman Zorro for the remainder of his career. He is Zorro. Zorro. That means fox, and there's a reason for that, and we'll talk about that more. But yeah, go ahead and follow me. Just follow my work, Sporting Tribune. And thanks for having me on, guys. Always a good time.
Absolutely. And guys, don't forget TalkingHalos.com, fantasy baseball. We didn't mention it enough. I'm not going to make you play fantasy baseball with us, Taylor, because you'd probably kick all our asses. So with that being said, follow myself on Twitter, Jared_Tims, Nate at NateGreen34. Guys, and thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your day.